Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Right, so good to be with you all here, okay, connecting with different ones. Some of you, our friendship has gone back to the days of Jurassic Park, really. Many, many decades ago, people like George Ting and all. Okay, friends, you know what? There are two characteristic marks of people who are aging. Firstly, what happens is fading memories. The second thing is, reminds me of two old buddies, okay? They finally met each other. They're so excited to see each other, okay? And Fred, who is 90 years old, so excited to tell John, who is 88 years old, what has happened to him. And so Fred said, you know, John, no, these days and times, my marriage improved tremendously, tremendously. Me and my wife, John said, what do you do, by the way? You know, John, what happens is that me and my wife, we go to this restaurant, okay, to have turtle soup. And it's really improved me and my wife's memory. John said, my goodness, you better tell the name of the restaurant because me and my wife, we are losing our memories. Likewise, we need to go to this place. So what's the name of the restaurant? And Fred said, The name, by the way, you know, the flower that is red in color with thorn on the stems, you know, what is it? Oh, John said, you mean the rose? The rose, that's right, the rose, that's right. Turn to his wife, say, Rose, what's the name of the restaurant you go to for turtles? All of us men, we should remember our wives' name, all our men say. I need to pray for all of you. Okay. I know today is Missions Weekend, Mission Sunday, that Pastor Alexa asked me to preach on. And therefore, we can read a passage of scripture, all right, from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Shall we stand together in honor of God's word to read God's word aloud, okay, in our loudest, most robust PJFC voices together. It's okay? All right, together, 1, 2, 3, let's go. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were helpless and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Father, we ask, O God, you by your Spirit has inspired this word. Take your word and speak to us and challenge us, Father, I pray in response, O God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Would you take your seats? Amen. Friends, here is a picture that you notice Jesus gives to us about the harvest, okay? And you know what happens? First and foremost, there is a call of Jesus to the harvest, really. What kind of call he makes to all of us? There are four kinds of call Jesus makes to every one of us, okay? A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, friends, you know what? It is a personal call, right? Call each one of us personally. Like, for example, Jesus calling, in this case, Peter, like this, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake for the fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll make you fishers of men." Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, what is, okay, Jesus' shampoo call? It's called follow me. Yeah, you know, and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, what is the Catholic shampoo call? Catholic shampoo is called head and shoulder. That's why it's head and shoulder. You know what is Apostle Paul's shampoo called? Rejoice. Paul says rejoice, and I say to you again, rejoice right now. Okay? So you want to have more joy, use rejoice shampoo. What is the Holy Spirit shampoo called? It is called the dove right now. The Holy Spirit, like a dove coming upon us like this. Okay? All right? And how many use rejoice shampoo? See your hands. Okay, none of you, my goodness. No one, not so much joy in your midst here, my goodness. I used rejoice shampoo for many, many years. Can't you see? I'm so joyful. But nowadays, I also use a Holy Spirit shampoo. Why? Because I need the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. All God's people say, right now, so important. That's the personal call of Jesus. Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So it's a call of Jesus to each and every one of us, like he called in a case here of Peter and Andrew like this. Not only, friends, you know, it is a personal call. Secondly, friends, you know what? It's a privilege call. Why is it a privilege call? It is like, for example, God calling Isaiah like this, isn't it? In Isaiah chapter 6 and in verse 8, come, let's read together, shall we? Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. What an amazing response of Isaiah when God called him like this. Sometimes, unfortunately, like this guy, when God says to him, whom shall I send and who will go for me? And this guy prays, Lord, here I am, send my sister, right? So sad. Someone even worse, someone said to God, God, here I am, send my mother-in-law. My goodness, this guy really needs prayer right now. Okay. So we notice, friends, God is calling each one of us. It's a huge privilege to be called by him, all right? To be involved in the work, ministry of the kingdom. It's a call of the Almighty God himself. A huge, huge privilege to be called. Not only, friends, it's a personal call, it's a privilege call. But also, friends, you know, thirdly, it is a powerful call. All right? A purposeful call in this instance here, all right? Why? Because here, Jesus saying to his disciples like this in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very ends of the age. See, the call of Jesus, right, has one purpose in mind. It is to make disciples of all nations. Friends, you know, by the way, that's what Jesus defines himself as, his purpose on earth. This is Jesus' mission statement or purpose statement. In what manner? Luke 19, verse 10. Jesus, what Jesus says about himself at the end of the encounter with Zacchaeus like this. Okay, Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So if you want to know purpose statement of Jesus, he defines it all like this. And that's the reason why it is so important for all of us likewise to engage in the same mission of Jesus. Can I get amen for that? And this Mission Sunday, so important, is it? One and one purpose Jesus came to this world for. It is what? To get people into his kingdom, to give people new life, a new birth, okay? A new change, a new transformation, and a new purpose for living, which is, I think, so important for all of us in this regard, isn't it? And that's why, wherever I go, you know what happens? I challenge people, right, to set a goal in terms of how many by God's grace, we know at the end is God's grace, how many by God's grace do you lead people to faith in Christ in a year, right? I challenge people to do that, okay? And I tried to do this when I was senior pastor of UMC. In fact, for me, when I was senior pastor, I set a goal of 50 people I want to lead to faith in Christ in 1 year. Now, it is not when I preach in church, how many would accept Jesus and put up hands, that is not counted. Because why? Because then preachers, okay, have unfair advantage. It is meeting people one-on-one, trying to lead them to faith in Christ, okay? Now, 50 is no joke. It works out to be one a week. I've got enough pressure running a big church. I don't need this added pressure. You know why I do this? Not because I'm crazy. It is because, friends, I want to make sure that every person is important to me as it's important to Jesus. Amen. You notice in the life of Jesus through the four Gospels, Jesus never walks past people. He gives everyone a chance, opportunity to encounter him. Like the Samaritan woman at the well, isn't it? Jesus engages her. It is like Zacchaeus, despised by the people. Jesus engages him. It is like also blind Bartimaeus, all right? Sidelined by the people. He's seen as a burden, as a problem, as a challenge to society. Not Jesus. He took time. He made time for him. And friends, that's the reason why you and I, sometimes in our business, rushing here and then everywhere, we're going to stop, slow down. Because every person is important to Jesus, as every person should be important to all of us, and all God's people say. That's the reason. Of course, now I'm a bit more merciful towards myself. I set a goal of 24 I want to lead to faith in Christ, which works out to be 2 a month, actually. Which is, I think, important. Why do I do this? To remind myself, don't get too busy with work. Don't get too busy rushing around. Every person, every life is important. If it's important to God, it is so important to you, because that's what Jesus came for to this world, to seek and to save the lost, isn't it? And so therefore, wherever I go, I try to adopt a mission mindset, wherever I go, to engage people, so that I pray by God's grace, I may be able to share with them, and trustingly lead the person to faith in Christ like this. So therefore, sometimes I create opportunities as well. So once I was having lunch in our cafe. It's called Dream Cafe. If you come to Dream Center, there's a tagline I put down there, where dreams come alive. Dream Cafe, where food comes alive, okay? And so therefore, I took my food, all right? And then I walk around to see which table should I sit, okay? And you know what? Don't look for an empty table, very sinful, okay? Look for a table with one person when you go alone. Join that guy and say to that guy, you're lonely, I'm lonely, let's make friends, lah. So that's the way, right now. So I saw this young man seated by himself, okay? I said, excuse me, can I join you? Oh, he was so happy, yeah. He was in his uniform, all right? German Motors uniform. See, 2 doors away from Dream Center, there's this company called German Motors. It repairs BMWs and Mercedes-Benzes, all right? I was on that day wearing my Mercedes-Benz T-shirt, which I seldom wear. Somebody gave me years ago. It so happened I was wearing it. So I walked to him, I said, excuse me, can I join? Yeah, sit down. So I said to him, so you work for German Motors? I said, yeah. Then he said to me, so you own a Mercedes-Benz? I said, yeah, in my dreams, I own one. Right. I said, no, actually, I'm a pastor. Oh, you're a pastor, yeah. What's your name? Derek. My name is Daniel. Okay, Derek. And so are you a Christian? You know what happens, this young man? Just like that. My goodness, I thought to myself, this young man, bolis or no manners at all. I said, are you Christian? Just like that. I said to him, Derek, you know, sorry, excuse me. Don't be too quick to write off, maybe. Why? Because if the Christian faith is true, you're going to lose everything. Your whole future, your whole eternity. Is it worth it? I'm not asking you to accept. I'm asking to consider. You're a smart guy. I can rattle off 7-8 pieces of evidence to show why Jesus is real and true. For you to consider, very, very important. So therefore, everywhere I go, I try to adopt a mission mindset to engage people. Why? Because I want to seize all these opportunities, as Jesus does, to share the good news that people encounter Jesus in a wonderful manner. So friends, you know what? The call of Jesus to the harvest is not a personal call, not a privileged call, not only a purposeful call, but friends, fourth and finally, it is a powerful call. Why is it a powerful call? Because the Holy Spirit is involved in that call. And that's why Jesus says to us in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8, okay, before he was taken up to heaven. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You receive power. And that's what happens, friends. The power of God comes upon us. You see, I'm not sure I've shared with you this, okay? For many years, as a Christian, I've got difficulties telling people about Jesus. I can talk anything, everything under the sun, from politics to potatoes, but Jesus just cannot come out at all. I struggle like crazy. I'm fearful, I'm nervous, I'm shy, I think I still am, and Jesus just cannot come out at all. One day, I read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I've read that countless times. One day, it hit me like a thunderbolt. I said, that's what I need, Lord. I need the empowerment from you by your Spirit. All right, so that I'll be your witnesses. And that day I prayed. Now, not that I become overnight fiery evangelist, but I started somewhere, little by little. So the key is, just start somewhere. The key is, friends, practice Nike's slogan, which is, just do it. Just do it. And as you keep on doing it, what happens? It becomes more and more, all right, natural. It becomes less and less difficult. As you keep on doing that, friends, you know what happens? It becomes second nature. So nowadays for me, if I don't share Jesus after a few weeks, I doubly tahan. I can look for somebody to share Jesus with. Why? Because it is so inbuilt into your system that it's a natural thing, that sharing the good news of Jesus is the greatest thing you can do on earth. And all God's people say, amen. It's so, so important for all of us. It is like, for example, 2 months ago, I flew to India to be involved in the consecration of a bishop. And he asked me to give a consecration message. Imagine, okay, a non-reverend consecrating a bishop with 13 other archbishops and bishops across India like this. And then when I arrived at Bangalore, all right, there's a driver assigned to me to take me around the next 4 days and to the place where the consecration takes place and then bring me back to the airport like this. And then I found that, all right, this driver is a Hindu guy, okay? And I thought to myself, this is fantastic. I got 4 days to work on him, okay, to see what can happen in a process like this. talk with him, found out his background, and said, are you married? Yeah, okay. And you got family? Yes, I've got a 9-year-old son. Great, great. I said, how did you meet your wife? He said, actually, I was not well. I went to the clinic to see the doctor, and there's a nurse there, okay? And this nurse took my blood. Of course, she ended up becoming my wife. Oh, I see, you're a clever man. She took your blood, you took her life. My goodness, what a deal, isn't it? Okay, right now. And he told me, my wife's a Christian. What about you? No, I'm not. I'm a Hindu. My goodness. So I worked on him for the next 4 days, okay? Eventually, on the way back to the airport after the consecration, I said, Kailash, you know what happens? I think, you know, it's about time for you to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Don't waste any more time. We've been talking about quite a bit. All right, it's about trying to trust. You know what he said? He said, okay, Ken. I said, can you drive and pray at the same time or not? He said, Ken, wow, clever Indians can all multitask. Well, I said, one more thing very important. If you drive and pray, for goodness sake, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Honestly, be dead and I'll be dead, isn't it? All right, but you know what? Instead of carrying on driving, he pulled the car aside for me to lead him to faith in Christ. All right, with that respect that he showed, isn't it? Friends, can I say there are more people ready to respond to the good news of Jesus if you engage them and slowly, gently share with them, all right? Why? This is where, friends, can I say, the world got it wrong. And many people, many non-Christians get it wrong. And sometimes they fault for us as Christians. You know what is the fault? We tell them, these people, if you don't accept Jesus, you go to hell. What a tragedy. What a wrong way of saying things. And no wonder some non-Christians get so offended, so upset, forget, don't come and tell me all this. See, friends, can I say, they get the wrong end of the stick. Totally wrong end of the stick. Sometimes I fought with us Christians. You know what happens? The message, for God so loved this world that he gave his one and only son. Right? It's that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life. It is the love of God for all of us. How much God loves this world. How much God loves each one of us. See, most people who are not Christians don't realize how much God loves them. Amen? Isn't it? Really, the extent of going to the cross to die for our sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world. The extent of God's love. So instead of hearing about God's love and God's sacrifice for all of us, they only hear about God's judgment, which is rather sad. See? So sometimes, friends, the fault is ours. We need to extend and make known Jesus to these people as much as possible. Amen, isn't it? Now, if that's the call of Jesus to the harvest, what does Jesus say about the harvest? He gives us a picture of the harvest. And so the first half of verse 37, then he said to disciples, the harvest is plentiful. That's the picture Jesus gives. All right, this world, all right, to this very day, 2,000 years later, the harvest is just as plentiful, if not even actually more, isn't it? How many Christians are there in this world today? Roughly 2.7 billion out of 8 billion population in this whole world. Now, 2.7 billion includes everybody, all right? Catholics as well as those who call themselves Christians, but we are not sure ourselves. Okay, whatever it is, 2.7 out of 8 billion, all right? You know what happens, friends? The Christian population has stagnated across the world. A recent Lausanne Congress in Seoul, okay, in South Korea, okay, September last year, gives us statistics. It has stagnated across the whole world. Friends, you know what? Even here in Malaysia as well. Okay, for example, every 10 years, our Department of Statistics will conduct the population housing census. In 2010, for example, the Christian population, that includes the Catholics, everybody who just professed and turned to be Christian, is 9.2%. 10 years later, 2020 census, right, it is 9.1%. So the Christian population stagnated, it's not grown really, isn't it? And that's the reason why, friends, there's an urgency on your part, our part, to respond, to share this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, even in South Korea, well known for big churches, well known, okay, for the growth of the church in the last 30 years, not only it has stagnated, it has declined in terms of church growth. Since 1995, which was a peak of Korean church growth, it has been going down. Droves and droves of young people are leaving the church, sadly. In other words, friends, we're not connecting with people, connecting with young people. We are not proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ with a sense of mission and urgency, right? And that's why, friends, can I say, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. To this day, it is still plentiful. Okay, sadly, even here in Malaysia, like this. And that's why it's so important for all of us to be engaged, to be burdened, to be concerned in the very mission of Jesus. This is a mission Sunday, is it? As much as, friends, can I say, the harvest is plentiful. What about, friends, right, people for the harvest? Jesus says like this in second half of verse 37. Okay, sorry. All right, the harvest is plentiful. Yeah, Jesus says, okay. So what about people for the harvest? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The workers are few. Now, can I, friends, today, help us to change our mindset? Why? Because when we say the harvest is few, we're thinking of people who are sent out as missionaries, people who are sent out full-time, all right, to serve the Lord. In fact, I don't mind confessing to you all, I repented from this thinking, all right? I've changed my philosophy of ministry. I don't believe in full-time ministry anymore. I believe in overtime ministry, right? So some of us are full-time, some of us are overtime, the rest of you here all the time. Amen? Because there's no such thing as a part-time, okay, part-time person, part-time worker, whatsoever else like this, isn't it? Right? Now, why is it the workers are few? The workers are few is because we are thinking of full-time people. Full-time people being sent out to serve, for example, the church here, full-time people to serve here and there, full-time people sent out as missionaries. Friends, you know, it should be all of us who are workers for the kingdom. And yes, not just the full-timers, isn't it? As I said earlier on, the call of Jesus is to everybody, isn't it? Not only if it is to everybody, the call of Jesus is purposeful, is powerful, all right? And has a mission for you and I to fulfill like this. So therefore, friends, can I say, all of us are called to the work of the kingdom. Get a good amen for that. Not just full-time people, not just certain people. And so I want to challenge you, my friends, you and I, we must always adopt a mission mindset. Wherever we are, I'm involved in mission, I'm engaged in mission, all right? I should really, okay, get into the thick of it all in mission. And therefore, people I meet, people I encounter, I want to seize opportunities to be able to connect with them, talk to them, share with them about Jesus. Patients that you meet, customers that you have, vendors, okay, that you connect with, all right, your colleagues, your staff, your employees, your employer, as well as your classmates or ex-classmates or your neighbors around, or okay, we should connect with them. Very, very important, isn't it? Because why? That's the greatest mission here you and I can be involved in doing in this world, all right? We're in a race of time, isn't it? For many of us, in a blink of an eye, we're in our 60s, our 70s, our 80s, also God, isn't it? Right? Time is running out. You know why nowadays we feel time pass by very fast? Isn't it? It is still the 24 hours, but we feel that time pass by very fast. You know why? Because I compare our life to that of a toilet roll. The more you use, the faster it rolls. You cannot say, slow down. It will just, before, friends, it rolls out. Before, okay, it runs, our runway runs out. Let's maximize our time, our work for the kingdom. You see? Because I want to challenge us all, because that's the way I think now. Okay? Countdown has started. Yeah, really. All right, I'm 74 now. If God will allow me to live up to 90 years or so, I've only got 16 more years to go. And every year becomes more and more precious, you see, to all of us like this. So when we take on that kind of mindset, it means that I must maximize every bit of my time, every opportunity, every occasion, wherever we are, isn't it? Which is, I think, so important for all of us. So once I remember what happens was, I was queuing up, okay, in this laksa stall in SS2 area, okay? How many of you love laksa? See your hands. Love laksa. Wow, many. God bless you, okay? This laksa stall in SS2 area, you know what is the name of laksa stall? It's called Hallelujah Laksa Stall. With that name, sure make money right now. See, what happens, the owner has come to faith in Christ, and because he decided to change his name of Laksa to Hallelujah Laksa Store, okay, and what happens was very popular there in SS2, and so therefore, I was queuing up, the long queue of people waiting, okay, to be served like this. I was in a queue. It was drizzling lightly. I was having my umbrella. So I tapped the guy in front with the umbrella. I said, excuse me, can I share my umbrella with you? He was so happy. Friends, you know, now I've got a captive audience. The guy can't run. shared with Jesus with the guy, and found that the guy can only speak Hokkien. My goodness, I struggle like crazy to try to share with him like this. See, friends, connect, and all right, opportunities like this to be able to engage in mission. Why? Because when we adopt a missions mindset, the workers don't have to be few. The workers could be every one of us. The workers could be large. Not sure I told you this, friends. See, starting with you, if you lead one to faith in Christ this year, all right, and then you disciple that guy and tell that guy next year, each one of us lead one to faith in Christ. Then next year becomes four of you. You disciple all three, and you tell these three of them, following year, each one of us lead one to faith in Christ. So therefore, starting first year, you lead one, it becomes two. Second year becomes four. Third year becomes eight. Fourth year, 16. Fifth year becomes 32. How many years will it take to win a world of 8 billion people to faith in Christ today? Anyone? Right? If you know the answer, right, very good lunch with our brother Daniel Yeo afterwards, for free. Okay. How many years? See, I ask this question around the world. Okay, I preach in more than 40 countries in all six continents. One young man in Shenzhen, China, in a church of 200 people, within 20 seconds, he put up his hand and he said to me, Pastor Daniel, when you hit 30 years, you touch 1 billion people. 31 years, 2 billion. 32 years, 4 billion. 33 years, you're home. I said, young man, spot on. Wow, China man, very clever. Worked out in his mind just like that. The next audience, I want to test it with a Jewish audience, whether Jews as smart as Chinese or not. Like this. So it's just amazing to engage with them. Friends, you know what? Starting with you alone, in 33 years, you can change the whole world. In fact, Mother Teresa was asked, Mother Teresa, what's your goal in life? What's your aim, your purpose in life? You know what she said? My goal in life, to change the whole world. Wow, people say, never knew you were so arrogant, Mother Teresa. You know what? To change the whole world one at a time. Just one at a time if you do this. In no time, you change the world. Amen. Never underestimate ourselves, what God can do in and through us. If we are purposeful, if we are intentional, if we are deliberate in the work of the kingdom, isn't it? So the picture Jesus gives us of harvest is that it is plentiful. All right, but the people for the harvest, sadly, they are few, because many don't realize that they've been called by Jesus into the harvest, that all of us are called by Jesus in the harvest. Amen, right now. And so therefore, it's so important for us to be involved wherever we are, to know that he has called me into the harvest field, called me to be engaged with people around me. And that's my burden and concern. You know why? Because many times we Christians only hang out amongst Christians. Of course, I don't mind that. Right? Today, PJFC, the best in the whole world. You're not quite sure. Okay. Right now. Of course, we don't mind hanging around with Christian, wonderful people of PJFC kind. Right now. Okay. But friends, can I say, if 90% of the time is only spent with Christian, we're in an artificial environment. Why? Because, okay, 90% of people in Malaysia are not Christians. How can we spend 90% of time only with Christians? We are much of the time in a bubble, in an artificial environment. And that's why sometimes the church, it has little impact on society. Why? Because we only keep to ourselves. You know, Jesus says to us, we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Amen? If we keep on hanging around one, what happens? We are all salting one another all the time. If we're salting one another, we all become over-salted. How many? Right now. And over-salted salt fish don't taste very nice. Right now. But you see, sometimes the very problem is, so friends, let's not create Christian ghettos all the time. All right, let's get out, get involved, get engaged. And this is where, friends, I really admire people, those of you out in a marketplace, in the workplace. I really admire you all. You know why? Because every day from Monday to Friday, much of your day, you spend with non-Christians. I really admire you all, and I wish I'm like that. There are times I feel like resigning as a pastor. Get out there in the marketplace, get to work there, and engage with many, many, right, who are there actually waiting for us to share the greatest of all news. See, Christianity, friends, can I say, is not advice. All other faiths are advice. The Christian faith is news and good news. You know that? The greatest news on earth that will change a person's destiny, that will transform a person forever. Friends, can I honestly say, we are doing a great injustice to our non-Christian friends if we don't share. Why? Because we know the way we are hated. But we also know the way they are hated if they don't come to faith in Christ, isn't it? And I fear this, my friends, honestly, can I say, one day, some of our friends down there will say to us, what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? You know where you are hated. You also know where we are hated. How come you never tell me this? And friends, can I say, this is serious stuff because it's not just what I said. This is what Jesus himself said. Remember, Jesus tells us a story about Lazarus, poor Lazarus, and the rich man. Amen? Hey, why you look at me? Are we using the same Bible? Same Bible. Right now. Right? Jesus tells a story. Poor Lazarus, he has to pick up crumbs from the table of the rich man. Isn't it? One day they both died. What happened? Jesus says, poor Lazarus went up to the bosom of Abraham, to heaven. Right? The rich man went down to hell. What did he say when he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham? Father Abraham, could you ask him to come? Okay, dip some water, put it on my tongue, because I'm thirsting like crazy here, down here, isn't it? Abraham says, sorry, the gulf, the chasm is too big. He cannot go. Then at least, Father Abraham, send him and go and tell my five other brothers who are alive so they do not end up coming here. Friends, that's how serious it is. That's why, friends, there's an urgency. There must be a real push in all of us, friends, to make known the good news of Jesus Christ. Can a good amen for that? So important is it for all of us. So people for harvest don't have the view if all of us are engaged in it. So in no time, friends, Malaysia will change and transform, isn't it? Really, which is, I think, so important. So they're looking for a good businessman, a good politician, a good whatever. No problems. Throw a stone, you hit one. Say like this. So friends, the urgency of the time we are living in. Not only, friends, Jesus gives us a picture of the harvest. Not only he tells us about people, the harvest, if we change our mindset, it doesn't have to be few. But right, third and finally, friends, Jesus tells us, okay, to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And what is this prayer like? Okay, Matthew 9 and verse 38, Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. All right? Besides engaging, besides connecting, all right? Besides intentionally, right? Working through, involving with people's lives. All right? The other powerful thing is we can pray. We all know the importance of prayer and the power of prayer. Amen, isn't it? So Jesus says like this to us all, one example, okay, of prayer. And he gives us the parable, for example, okay, here in this case here, Luke 18, about the context of prayer, okay? And this is how Jesus puts it like this, about the power importance of prayer. In verse 1 of Luke 18, Jesus says, then he told disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. To always pray and not give up. Therefore, Jesus is telling us about faithfulness in prayer that's needed. On and on and on. We never give up. Listen. Not only Jesus tells us faithfulness in prayer, he wants us to exercise fervency in prayer. Not just faithfulness, but fervency. Why? Because if you read on that chapter, Jesus talked about this poor widow, isn't it? Trying to get justice from this judge that is unfortunately not very just. All right? And the widow refused to give up. Keep on banging at the doors of this unjust judge until that judge finally would give in and okay, give justice to the poor widow. And then, friends, this is what Jesus says further like this in Luke 18, verses 6 to the first part of verse 8. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. All right? You see? So, friends, like this poor widow, pleading and begging and refusing to give in, give us the fervency of it all, right? The judge responded. And likewise, friends, with our God too. He said, so there's only faithfulness in prayer. There's a fervency in prayer, right? To want to really continue, plead with God, ask God for mercy, for grace, for divine intervention. But finally, friends, not just faithfulness and fervency. Jesus says to all of us in our prayer, is there faith or not as well? Why? Because here, at the end of verse 8, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Faith to believe God. Faith to trust God for breakthroughs. Listen, that as we pray for our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our colleagues, our employers, our employees, okay, our neighbors, when they believe our relatives and pray, they believe God for a breakthrough in a powerful manner, right? Which is, I think, so important for all of us in this regard. So as we connect, okay, relate to these people, we trust that God will do something amazing. So this is what I try to do a little bit wherever I am, to continue to pray that God will open opportunities. So I pray regularly, Lord, wherever I go, Lord, allow me to connect with people whom you're prepared so that I could, right, relate to them, talk with them, share with them, and prayerfully, by God's grace, lead them to faith in Christ in a wonderful manner. And so, for example, I was speaking in this church camp, actually, just last month. Okay, MAGA Chinese Methodist Church, 700 of them in a camp, right, in Kinta Riverfront Hotel in Ipoh, a great time with them, okay? And when they give the altar call, because why? Every church camp, I always pray, Lord, please, 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 have the members of the church coming for the camp, invite the non-Christian friends to come. Friends, you know, can I say, many non-Christians, they're very happy to come to church camps. Even though they're not Christians, they don't mind. They love it. You know why? Because it is a very cheap, so not cheap, inexpensive family holiday. Right now, for example, 3 days, 2 nights, or 4 days, 3 nights, how much you pay? All right, you put it all in, it is quite inexpensive compared to you as a family going holiday away right now. For example, I spoke at a Singapore Wesley Church camp in Sunway Resort Hotel here, okay, September this year. 700 have packed that whole place in like this, had a great time with them, and make an altar call for salvation. People respond like this. I walk into hotel room. My goodness, only Singaporeans can afford this kind of hotel room like that. We all Malaysians get so very envious, jealous. My pity, poor cousins across the causeway here like this. But friends, that's what I do. And when I give the altar call to this mega Chinese Methodist church, many young people on this side have put up their hands to accept Jesus, which means what? They have invited their friends to come. Their classmates will come. And many of them, they enjoy their time in a camp, in a wonderful way. So that's what I try to do wherever, to pray, to believe God for breakthroughs. Can you go amen for that? Why? Because harvest is plentiful. Laborers don't have to be few. If we all know that, we take on a mission mindset. We are called as workers in the kingdom, all right? But we can pray and believe God for breakthrough, okay? Let me close with this example. I was speaking in a Singapore church camp that was held in Malacca. At the end of the camp, one lady from the camp came up to me and said, she's in her early 50s, said, Pastor, thank you so much for speaking to us at the camp. Really appreciate that. Pastor, you know what? I brought my father along, right at the back there, sit in the wheelchair. That's my father. See, most people have left the camp already because it was the last session I took. Said, I brought my father there, right at the back there, sit in the wheelchair. That's my father. Okay? He's 92 years old. Not a Christian. It's a miracle he came. He's actually not supposed to come. All right, a miracle. I'm so thankful to God he came. All right, Pastor, can you go and share Jesus with him? All right, and then she said, you know, Pastor, my father only understands Teochew. How to speak Teochew. My goodness, it's a Chinese dialect. Okay, what do I do? Can you go and share Jesus with him? So I thought to myself, okay, now let me try. So I walked towards him. As I was walking towards him, I thought to myself, older generations of Singaporeans will probably understand some Hokkien. Okay, right now. So therefore, I walked towards him. I pulled my chair, sat next to him. The daughter sat across. Then I marshaled up my limited Hokkien. I said, Uncle, what could gito hobo? Uncle, I pray for you. Okay, no? He said, Isai. He said, can. I said, Uncle, we gito. Uncle, before I pray for you, did we chop you chew such a kill you? You didn't accept Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior. You know what he said? He said, Isaipun. He said, Ken also. The daughter started to cry and cry and cry like crazy. The daughter is so unfair, Pastor, so unfair. My father lives with me all these years. I share Jesus with him. I talk to him about Jesus. He said, don't disturb, not interested. Get lost, get away, not interested at all. You just say, one, accept Jesus. He said, okay, so unfair one. She said, you know, I said, sister, you know why? Because pastor very powerful. That's why. Now I got a big problem. How do I lead him in Hokkien to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior? Okay. Then I said, okay, Uncle Jingho, Jingho. I said, very good, very good. You fall out. I say one sentence, you say, he said, Isai. So I said, 主耶稣基督 Lord Jesus Christ， 我感谢你 O Lord， I thank you and I praise you。 主耶稣基督，我要讲我是罪人 Lord Jesus， I want to say I'm a sinner。 主耶稣基督，我相信你作十字架为我罪死 Lord Jesus， I believe you died on the cross for my sin。 主耶稣基督，我求你原谅我罪 Lord Jesus， I ask forgive me of my sin。 主耶稣基督，来我心里主耶救主 Lord Jesus， come to my life， be my Lord and my Savior。 主耶稣基督，有你圣灵充满我心 ，Lord Jesus， you are use the Holy Spirit fill me to the full。主啊，所见我平安喜乐加希望。Lord Jesus， give me peace, joy and hope。奉你的名求，应了你们阿门。He said amen。哇 ，I was so relieved. Finally, I managed to finish praying Hokkien。哇 ，Thank you for your encouragement. That was a struggle. Then I said to him, Uncle。你明白我说没有 Uncle can you understand what I say or not? You know hey, Hokkien will 不拍 I became quite impressed with my limited Hokkien. Next morning is the end of the camp, right? They have all having breakfast, and after breakfast they disperse and go back to Singapore. Doris and I, we came a bit late, and I saw the uncle gentleman there, so I walked towards him, tapping on the shoulder and said, Uncle,Uncle, can you recognize me? Hey, Boksu, Boksu, Jingho, Jingho, Jingho. All right, very good, very good. He was beaming from ear to ear. I think, you know what, friends? Throughout the whole camp, he was pushed there to sit through all the sessions, not understanding a single word of English. Whatever this guy says, whatever jokes he cracks, I don't know. All right, probably very unhappy, probably very grumpy, very grouchy. Why you force me to sit through all these sessions? So unfair.What is this all about? But friends, can I say, when touched by Jesus, he is beaming from ear to ear. Friends, can I say, there are many people out there, heavy burden, weighed down, sad, tragic in so many circumstances going through, heartbroken, looking for a way out for the life, for the future, seeking for peace of heart, seeking for comfort and rest.In the midst of all this, could not find it. Friends, you and I have got this greatest news. The one good news of Jesus Christ can change and transform people's lives. He's calling you and I to share, to connect, and see how their lives can be touched, changed and transformed, and never the same again. Amen. Let us pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed,I want to extend an invitation this morning. I don't assume that we are all followers of Jesus Christ. We all do know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But if you're not, you might even be coming here a number of times. But deep down in your heart, you don't have a personal relationship with Him. My friend, I want to urge you, make today the greatest of all days. Make today.The beginning of a fantastic journey of your life. Not that there will be no problems, but God's grace is there sufficient for you in all that you go through in life, that you will know He is there for you, with you, in you and around you. And so we hit spot on ice, because if you like to, both downstairs and up, okay, in the balcony. At the count of three, if you like to, would you raise up your hand wherever you are? I want to pray for you. This is a precious moment, my friend.God the Almighty is here. The precious Lord of the universe is right here in our midst. The all-knowing God. He knows who we are, what we are. And so if you'd like to, at the count of three, wherever you are, could you raise up a hand? I want to pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is anybody here? Is anybody? Yes. Thank you. I see a hand. Anybody? Another one. Yes. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Anybody else?Well, those who put up hands, could you say after me this prayer? Okay, and church, can I ask you to join in to say aloud as well? All right, to encourage these people put their hands. So together, friends, will you say after me? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise you for your love for me. Lord Jesus, I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins.And now come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. fill me with your Holy Spirit and power. And give me your love, your peace, and your joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those who have prayed this prayer, whether their hands are up or not, you know it all, because you're all-knowing God. Holy Spirit, seal it deep in every heart, every life that has prayed this prayer sincerely. And bring, Father, I pray, this new birth and new life to pass. And enable this, Father, I pray, oh God, to be disciple in a church here like this in PJFC. Bless these precious ones, Father, I pray, oh God, and use them to grow in you and to be witnesses for you, Father, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Can we all stand? Is it okay? I want to pray for all of us. I want to pray for God's anointing for us. I want to pray for God to put upon each one of us the burden, the passion of sharing Jesus. That we are actually all running out of time. In a blink of an eye, so many years have gone past for many of us. And how we did maximize our time, our life for the kingdom. And so friends, can I ask you, if you don't mind, to raise up your hands like this, because a great posture, a posture of humility, a posture of receptivity, because God loves a humble person. Father, I pray for all these, my precious brothers and sisters. Thank you for every one of them. You know who they are, where they are in the journey of faith. Thank you, Father, oh God. Every one of these are who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, come and fill them, refresh them, renew them. Where they are tired, where they are weary, lift them up, Father, I pray. And fill them with new passion, strength, and energy, and urgency, Father, to share Jesus. The many who are lost out there, the many to encounter Jesus, experience the amazing love of God. Use these, my brothers and sisters, Father, I pray. Use them in the next 12 months, Father, as we at least touch one person for you and give them not just the joy, the blessing, but the privilege of leading at least one person to you and see the person's life be radically impacted, oh God, and that these people be brought here, they will see, oh God, the blessings that will flow in the process as they come to faith as a disciple well. So bless these precious ones, Father, I pray, all right, to connect, to engage, Father, I pray, in intentional manner, to pray in your purpose, your power, your grace, your goodness, oh God. So be great joy and celebration at PJFC, because why? Your word says to us, Lord Jesus, when one sinner turns to faith in Christ, all the angels in heaven rejoice. Indeed, we shall all rejoice. So make this, Father, I pray, a church that rejoice and celebrate your grace and goodness, oh God, to engage, involved in the work of missions and the work of your kingdom. Bless all these precious ones, Father, I pray, so it be a great celebration of year to year, what is going to happen to the lives of many of friends, colleagues, neighbors, relatives, oh God, friends, Father, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name, oh God, you wonderful people say, amen. Give a clap offering to Jesus. Will you do that? Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.